And this is Carrie. I'll take your question next. This is Carrie. One of the things that has been the toughest for me in my recovery is to work the steps on exactly this issue. So it's one of my favorite, well, not really favorite, but it's one of my character defects is grandiosity and thinking I'm the solution to other people's problems. And that plays out in my service work all the time. So if I am doing a daily 10th step and 11th step, there is, which you don't have to, you know, I'm sure many of you have heard this before, but you don't have to have worked all the steps in order to work the steps that begin with one. So anyone can work step one at any time, step 10, 11, and 12. So once I got, you know, earlier in recovery, that I could actually start doing the 10th and 11th step before I was there, it's helped me. So I do the 10th and 11th step on this very problem. When I start saying, why is nobody stepping up to be of service, I do my fourth step inventory on my selfishness and my self-will. Am I hanging on to this? Am I thinking that I'm the solution to the problem? And the minute I can do my step work on it, then what they're talking about becomes more possible for me to be able to see that the most recovered thing I can do is put that bag in the middle of the room and say, who's going to be the secretary next time? So now we'll take our first question.
Why don't we wait, because if I start to open it up to people sharing, we won't get to the questions.
Hi, I'm Sarah.
Hi, Sarah.
My question is in regards to maybe a more of a business item, but can you speak to the fact of rent and insurance? Our meeting currently is in a location which nobody from our meeting that currently attends knows how we got this room for free. We are worried that we may lose the free room, and we've inquired about other places. And so we have no idea what a typical rent would possibly be or what we know what we could afford, and it's not much. And as well as many of these places, even churches, are asking for insurance. So I think that that's a barrier for us, or maybe even for people starting a meeting when they're looking for a place.
Boy, have I got experience, strength, and hope on this one. I'm Amy. Hi, I'm Amy again.
Hi,
still. We actually, I talked about the meetings that preceded our Santa Clara meeting. We lost the original meeting that I used to go to was in Los Altos, and we lost that meeting due to exactly that liability insurance issue. When we moved the meeting, when I started up the meeting, one of the reasons that we picked the location that we did was because they did not at that time require liability insurance. And they later did require the insurance. They also didn't require any rent. So we no rent, no liability insurance. So they did start to require liability insurance. But at that point, because we had the leftover money from all of the dead meetings in the area, plus Intergroup gave us some seed money, we actually had enough money with our Seventh Tradition and everything to get a small liability insurance contract for our group. But then we brought it to Intergroup. So the answer really for us was Intergroup, because there was another meeting in our area that was also dealing with the liability insurance issue after we did. More and more places are requiring us to carry our own liability insurance. And meetings by themselves, it's very difficult to come up with that. Several hundred dollars even, you know, for a small liability insurance policy, it's hard for meetings to come up with that. But when we band together, in our case, in the form of Intergroup and pool those funds, it's easier to cover the meetings. And so that took some time to bring that issue to our Intergroup and to get that resolution. There was some, you know, dialogue and group conscience that was required around that, but that was the answer to our liability insurance issues anyway. And I can't really speak to the rent very well because our location doesn't require it currently, but we may need to move and that may become an issue, but I think other people can speak to the rent more.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Stephanie.
I'll speak to the rent. My name is Stephanie.
Hey, Stephanie.
Our experience can help. I don't have the insurance issue, so in regards to the rent question, when we talked to the folks, they were more than willing. At least when I engaged in negotiation, let them know that we're a 12-step meeting, and it's by donations only. It could be very small, from 2 to 3, 4, or 5 people. You know, maybe after a month on a regular basis. We usually, you know, and so. At least the two organizations that I had to negotiate did give us a little bit of a time. So if you can negotiate a time of just introduction, a month or two, and then what we agreed, oh gosh, Stephanie, with the second location is that we would give them 50% of our seventh tradition. And then we let the fellowship know, or the group know, that what we collect, 50% is the rent. The rest goes towards buying materials, chips, medallions, anything else that we need for the meeting. And that's how we started that. So that's my experience, strength, and hope on the rent issue. I think when you come and talk to an organization, knowing that you're small, that you're beginning, they're familiar usually with 12-step meetings, that it's not like a big money-making thing that's coming in their door. They want to have a marketing opportunity here. You know, they know it's donation only from their members. So when you come from that angle or aspect, you just it's wide open of what you can negotiate.
Did you have anything?
Oh, no, I already talked about rent earlier.
Okay. So this is Carrie. I helped a group that was had been offered free space, and one of the things that they thought that they hit the jackpot. And I just want to point out there's some problems with not paying rent. First of all, it's not consistent with our traditions, because then we're not fully self-supporting. If we're beholden, even though we're getting it a good deal free, we are beholden in interesting ways, and it may not come out initially, but the main way that it comes out is that you're not treated as if you were a tenant. You're treated as an appendage that they can cut off whenever they want. And even if you're only paying $10 a month, there is a difference between how we are treated with our meeting space, because we are paying to be in that space. That, you know, there's great wisdom, obviously, in the traditions as they were originally created in another fellowship. And it's not that it's wrong or bad. You can't, you know, any meeting is autonomous, so a meeting can decide to not pay rent. I just want to put it out there that there's a downside to not paying the rent, which makes it feel even more precarious, your position there, because in a way you owe them. If you pay some rent, you can be clean in saying, I don't owe you anything. I'm paying for what we agreed on here. So just 2 cents. Next question.
I just wanted to go say the cards help. I gave them to my OBGYN, and they were very grateful to have them, because since they had that outlet, they could use it. The second one, by using flyers and stuff, we live in a small town. Did that impede on, like, the anonymity, or do you notice that it strained it or anything?
The flyers...
Hi, this is Stephanie again. The flyers primarily remain just within the respective COSA meetings in general, and that's how they were designed to address. Now the treatment center that we are in in Santa Ana, they are very familiar with COSA and SAA. So to have the flyer say a COSA meeting beginning on Thursdays at noon on October the whatever it was, actually it's a year. Was okay, and I think in regards to anonymity, it was just a choice that we made, that to say it's COSA, because they actually had an introduction of an outreach visit by Carrie and Linda,
and myself about what COSA is. And they already knew about COSA because they know about SAAs, because that's where their primary treatment was for, the outpatient treatment for. So they wanted a support group for their partners. So for the partners aspect in their therapeutic part. So anonymity issues in regards to outside of the that those two arenas, the meetings themselves, and that I haven't explored that, but Carrie might have be able to address that piece with outreach.
And I just want to offer a gentle reminder that we're trying to not use the name of other fellowships or organizations. I think the thing with, I mean, your question about how we can maintain our anonymity and do outreach in the public is the eternal question that certainly in outreach we field everywhere we go. And I think one of the things that's probably the most misunderstood is that it is not breaching confidentiality for me to go someplace and say, hey, you know, COSA exists. For me personally, there is, I don't breach my confidentiality because I use my first name and last initial. There was one case where we got stuck and we actually had to give our last names. We had to break our anonymity at one place we went, and it was because it caught us off guard. So after that, that's not going to happen again. But it was done because of a request that we would, if we saw any particular people in a treatment center, that we agreed to not reveal who we had seen. And we had to sign something, and we asked, you know, can we just put our last initial? And the answer was no. And today my answer would be, we will not be signing our last name. It's our tradition in our fellowship to protect our anonymity. Now, I'm standing there in person, right? If you're in a small community, which I think is where you were getting to, then find people who are not feeling anxious about it. You know, for me, I qualify to be in COSA in a number of ways. So, you know, while people may know my partner, know I'm married, and it's not necessarily a foregone conclusion that the reason I'm in COSA is because of him. Because I qualify on three other levels that have nothing to do with him and precede him. So in my case, it's not an issue of the default has to be that, you know, it's the stinky thinking that our fellowship is only for people who are married to a sex addict. And that's not true. And it's nobody's business how I qualify. But don't do outreach work if you're feeling like you could be at risk of your identity in a small place being identified. Find people who don't have that issue to carry the flyers to where they are, make an appointment so that it's private. If you're posting a flyer at a church, you can call on the phone and say, you know, I'd like to mail you some flyers, but I'm trying to protect my anonymity. There's so many different ways that you can protect your anonymity, even in a small place, if you can get over that initial hump of being afraid that somehow you're going to do something wrong or you're going to screw something up for somebody who you care about or maybe even somebody you don't care about. But yeah, I could go on, but I'll stop there.
Thank you.
Another question?
Can you guys just comment? You've made some comments about different meeting formats, and I know we've changed our format and it's helped. And I'm not asking you to go into how each one works, but just kind of like almost like a laundry list of different types of meetings that are run at different COSA meetings, and then people in this room may be interested in asking later about, hey, that one sounded interesting. Is that something that you could comment to?
Stay there. Would you mind just sharing what format you used to use and what you're using now?
So the COSA meeting I attend has been around for quite a while, and we had dwindled down to two people, myself being one of them. And we were doing an open topic meeting. It was referred to as COSA Lite by someone. And we would do a step meeting the first Monday of the month. And it was similar to another 12-step program that somebody had gone to. And we were recommended to make a little bit more structure so that the newcomers would learn more about steps and traditions. So this summer we adopted a format of first Monday of the month being step meeting, second Monday of the month being a tradition meeting, and third being principles, with our fourth meeting being an open topic, and then ending it, the sharing, 15 minutes early so we could have our first business meeting of September of 2014. And it has made our meeting very healthy. It has stopped some of the ways our meeting would just kind of go off into the weeds about, does anybody have any announcements? And then we'd spend talking about announcements, or I would like to change this. And so the business meeting portion, as well as the step format, I think part of it is a lot of people that are in COSA, or I should say I'm in COSA, I have control issues and I like structure. And so when there was structure, people felt comfortable. They knew what to expect when they came to the meeting. So it's been great for us. But that's one way we've changed our meeting. But maybe we want to shake things up and, you know, every third month do a meditation meeting or something. I hear about all these different ideas. So that's what my question is. Thank you.
We'll go in order, I guess. Hi, I'm Amy, and I can just tell you what Santa Clara does, which is we base this on other meetings that we were descended from, but we do a 7-minute reading, and we have somebody volunteer to pick a reading each week, and then a 3-minute share. The reader can share for 3 minutes on the reading if they wish, and we've sort of recently started, we've had a few starts and stops with this, but we recently started doing a speaker meeting on the first Monday of every month. And because Santa Clara is a little bit isolated, and this may be the case for other meetings, we've started doing a virtual speaker share. So we will pick a portion of a recording from a convention or a workshop, maybe something like this. And we'll listen to it in the meeting as a virtual speaker share.
Awesome. Thank you. Hi, I'm Emily.
Hi, Emily.
Like I said earlier, we do all the regular preamble readings. Then we talk a little bit about the 11th step and making conscious contact with your higher power, and encourage newcomers who are... have not yet established the concept of higher power for themselves, use the group as their higher power, and then we're silent for 15 minutes. And then if there are newcomers, we have someone share about how COSA's helped them, and then it's just general shares following that.
Stephanie?
Hi, I'm Stephanie. The Friday night COSA meeting is actually a step setting meeting. We use the welcome, the do I stay, do I go reading, the gifts of the program, the 12 steps, 12 traditions. And in the beginning, we state that it's a step setting meeting. We're going to cover steps, three steps, 1, 2, 3, the first 3 weeks of the month. And on the fourth, we would do a tradition. So we would cover all 12 steps within 4 months, and then a tradition every month. And when there's a fifth week, we do a concept. So there's like a calendar that we sort of have it planned out. And then when folks sign up to lead or to be secretary for that meeting to facilitate it, they know that it's that topic. Now, the noon meeting on Thursday is a general share, and it's 1 hour, and it's abbreviated version of that particular format. And we basically do 10 minutes leader share on the topic, and they can share on the topic, get current, or checking in. So we sort of spell that out, and that's like 4 to 5 minutes on that particular meeting. I think that's all I have.
So there are other meetings that I'm aware of. Okay. There's telemeetings that have different formats. There's a telemeeting that's just a 10th step meeting that runs every night at 9 o'clock Pacific time. And the format is to do to help you learn how to do your 10th step in the evening, or if you know how to do it with you. There's also an 11th step telemeeting, so the whole focus of the meeting is on the 11th step, which is, but the format is different than the 11th step meeting that Emily talked about, because again, it's a short meeting focused on improving your conscious contact with your higher power as part of your 10th and 11th step daily process. There's also a telemeeting that focuses on COSA tools. So the shares are at the meetings to share about a tool that works for the someone in COSA, to share about it, how it's helped them, and then let people either respond to that about how that tool has helped them geared towards the newcomer, or to just get current. There are a bunch of different mixed meetings in terms of you know, using different, either having a speaker night once a month, or similar to what you were hearing, a step reading, like step 10 this month from the COSA literature. And then sometimes people actually have a writing exercise after they read the 10th step. So there are writing focused options. And you can mix and match. There's nothing that says you have to have one meeting that's done the same way throughout. I know when I first came into recovery in COSA, we did not have our own literature. So we were reading outside literature. It was by necessity, we did. But I'm really grateful today that we can be much more in keeping with our traditions and read our own literature, which is basically what we're supposed to be doing, working the steps as COSAs instead of as some other fellowship. I think that's going to exhaust me, plus we're at the end of our time.
There's also a couple of meetings I go to where the first week there's a reading on the step of the month, then the next week there's question and response.
Oh, thank you. That's
where one person asks a question and then three people give feedback, just only their experience, strength, and hope, not advice to the person asking the question, not judgment about the question. And then the third week is step speaker, reader, whichever one I didn't say, and then the rest is open.
Okay. So we're going to close the meeting, but so you can actually stop the recording before we close out with the serenity.